I'd like to call to order the Aurora Historic Review Board meeting for Tuesday, February 27th at 7:07 p.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Chair Jan Peel is not with us. Co-chair Julie Sixkillen.
Here.
Member Gail Abernathy.
Here.
And member Richard Goddard.
Here.
Okay. Okay, visitors, anyone wishing to address the board, anybody who's not already on the agenda, if you have something you'd like to bring up to us, we'd love to hear it. No decisions or actions, though, will be made tonight, but it's something that we can take under advisement and either put on the agenda for next time or come back to at a later date with a response. So is there anybody that... No? Okay, great. So consent agenda, the meetings from last, well, I guess from January 23rd. Anybody read through those and see anything that needs to be changed, added to?
So no changes.
No changes. Okay. Can I get a motion to approve?
Yeah. Move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Okay. Second.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Consent agenda passes. No correspondence. So new business. We'll go on to the sign application and the application for the door from Katie Larson. It looks like we pretty much have everything on the applications, but is there anything you'd like to say or any additional information you'd like to give us?
I have the packet. Yeah, I think every one of you guys got a chance to look at the packet.
Yeah, we did. We did. I just didn't know if there's anything you wanted to add. I know that some updated information came in over online that's not in this packet.
Yes, so there was a couple of other things. As far as the signage goes, it's pretty much everything is customizable as far as the design goes.
Okay.
I just wanted to get...
Okay. On the sign application, it does show number of signs 2, but that would be 3, right? The A-frame, the stanchion,
oh,
and
the
wall sign.
And the lab. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So 3, really. Okay. Perfect. Okay. So does anybody have anything to, I think maybe if we just go through in order here, start with the freestanding sign.
Sure.
Which is the one that would have the stanchion. Anybody have any comments or anything on that before I give my 2 cents?
No, I think there might have just been a question about the shape.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So I did notice that on here you have height from ground to top is approximately 96 inches. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. 96 inches is the 8 feet.
Yeah.
It just can't be taller than
right.
that.
Yes.
So, okay. But you have that on there, so that kind of would need to strike the word approximately. It just needs to be.
Either that or lower.
Yeah, exactly. With a maximum height of 8 feet from the top edge of the sign to the grade below. So, yeah. Okay. Wood and metal. So the only thing I noticed was the sign code does say... under the general sign provision 1724070, that rectangular, straight edge, and oval signs are the preferred shapes.
Okay.
So the signs with that are highly stylized,
mm-hmm.
round, or have the curvilinear edges, those are prohibited.
Okay.
So is there a way to make that sign on the stanchion oval?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Either oval or rectangle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, that'd be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The wall sign. What's everybody think about the wall sign? It'll be above the door.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I mean, in general, I guess I would just say I appreciated the effort you put into the application. Like, it made the review super easy,
okay.
and the detail was really great.
Yeah.
And we've seen applications that folks did not put nearly as much effort into, so I appreciate it.
I wanted it to be as clear as possible.
Yeah, no, you really did put a ton of effort into this.
But I think it looks great.
And these are all, are they all going to, will the sign on the stanchion and the wall, will they be the same colors, the same background,
color.
Same
yeah.
sort of black lettering.
Yeah, black lettering on. I'm trying to get as close to the building color as possible.
Okay.
So I know this is just like a nit, But like, is there any issue with having, like a different logo on the different signs, or is that not an issue? Like, I know we've talked about logo on another application. I won't mention any. But like, maybe this was just sort of representative, but you know, if there's sort of a house on one sign and a plant on another or something like that,
an issue or not? I don't think so, because like the White Rabbit has a rabbit on their sign.
And Karen has that lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. But it carries over, right? From sign to sign. Like it's the same sort of, if they're different logos.
No, not different logos on each sign. No. Is that what, yeah, that's
what I was
saying.
Asking. Yeah. Because
are you talking about this little flourish?
Yeah, exactly.
It is on either side of the,
on this one, it's here and there.
So I just thought it looked a little weird without something in the middle.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it looks great. I just wanted to sort of make sure that's not going to be an issue.
No, he's making a good point.
Yeah.
Because and yours are fine, but he makes a good point because it has come up on other signs before where the logos haven't been consistent.
Yeah.
Or they aren't someone who's ever had a logo on any of their signs and then want to introduce all of a sudden this logo. Mm-hmm. So.
But this is good. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, well, they're not eating that minute. Okay, so that's the wall one. So we're okay with that. And then there's the A-frame.
I have A-frame as well. I'll let you discuss.
Are we back to A-frames?
Yeah, but they have this wooden... The only thing I'm not sure of, Gail, it's a chalkboard?
Yeah, this one is a chalkboard.
Okay, so is it going to have anything like permanently printed on it?
No.
Okay, because some people put, you know, permanent printing on a chalkboard. Or is it just so you can, and will it always be white chalk?
Always white chalk.
Okay.
And it might not even be out every day. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we have, you know, a visiting artist or something.
Okay.
Might put something out,
but. Okay. So you mentioned another A-frame, because that would be something if you have a different one that would also need to be approved.
Yes. So my idea is to stick with this one because there will be two other signs with the business name on it. The other A-frame is a black metal frame, white printed board on it. And that is a more kind of permanent, would have my logo on it. So I just don't know if I need three logos out front of the building.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So in the future, if you decide you're going to use another one, then you would need to bring that before us for approval. Okay, perfect. Okay. Anybody on this one?
Well, just wanted to double check the dimensions, whether that's consistent with what we have for A-frames.
Yeah, I think, isn't it?
In front of me, but I just wanted to confirm.
I think it's, I think it's 48.
Yep. Cool. Just avoiding any question.
It's no bigger than 48 by 36, I think it is.
So.
Where are you planning to put it?
Probably just right next to the front. Okay, and then, so that's on a separate application. So we should get a motion for the first application before we move on to the door, because it's on its own application. Should pay a separate fee on that one. So I think when making a motion, the only thing we need to do is make sure that we include the freestanding sign, not to exceed the 8 feet, and needs to be oval.
Okay, or rectangle.
Yes, or rectangle. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'll move that we approve the application for a certificate of appropriateness for Mill Creek Market with the changes noted, including the freestanding sign not to exceed 8 feet from grade to the top of the sign, and that the shape of the sign be either oval or rectangular.
My second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. My application accepted, I guess, for that. We'll move on to the door. So the door is a bit of a moving target right now, right?
You're supposed to move.
See, we have fun here. I hope that's pulling you in. Okay, so I heard now the reasoning for the new door was it had to do with Jan was kind of mentioning not just the aesthetics of welcoming people in, but also security.
I'm mostly concerned about safety and security. If you're outside opening the door, you have no idea if someone's on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. Also, if I'm inside alone, which I will be quite a bit, and even after hours, I would like to know who is at my front door. Mm-hmm. So I think that those are kind of my main concerns. I also think it would make the building a little bit more inviting as a retail location. I know it was a home, and I want to respect that as much as possible. Mm-hmm. But there's also that little hump of a closed door is a little bit less enticing.
Yeah.
So I want to do it the right way, of course.
Yeah, I mean, when you go into Karen's store, you always kind of open it very, very slowly.
Yeah, and you walk up kind of thinking automatically. I think it's a psychological thing. Yeah. Is this business open or not? Because there's no way to look inside.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But also,
but it is a colonial doorway.
Yes. Yes. And so having said that, it's even though you're the one making the application for a new door, you're not the building owner.
Sure.
So the responsibility of this really comes to Mike Burns.
Okay.
To make sure it's appropriate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I think Jan was telling me that Mike is actually the one looking for and locating a colonial door.
He is.
So
yes.
We can probably accept this application as long as we make the provision in our acceptance that it be a colonial door.
It doesn't have to be the owner making the application.
Well, that was my only not so sure of.
Say no, then
because
technically, if we were accepting another like land use application, for example, this is land use law, so you would be getting approval from the owner, or something in writing saying, on behalf of myself as owner, just allowing this to go forward. But there's a signature. So that's, just the formality of the signature that could also be included.
Mm-hmm.
That is assuming that we have something signed by Mike.
Yeah.
That says, this is fine, it's true, and I'll ensure that this is a colonial style.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a problem moving forward.
Yeah.
In that same spirit.
Yeah. I mean, even if we can just maybe get an email from Mike to you, just so you have something in writing from Mike that we can attach.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we need a motion to accept the application for the door.
Sure. I'll move that we accept the application for a certificate of appropriateness for the Mill Creek Market door. And I guess contingent on receipt of, some approval from or indication of support from the property owner.
And that it'd be a colonial.
Yeah.
Please
second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So application accepted.
Question, what is the bar on the chalkboard?
Oh, it's we did an event last September where we offered free bouquets. So we set out all the flowers and let people kind of like a salad bar, but with bouquets.
Much healthier. Okay, great. Well, if you would like to stay for the rest of the meeting, you're welcome to. But otherwise, you guys are free to go if you want to. So, okay,
that's
great. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
You bet.
I appreciate it.
I hope it was painless.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Okay, so next is our discussion of code enforcement regarding the fence on Airport Road. So we had talked last time about maybe a letter going out to the homeowner.
And just something, it would be both a letter, it would be effectively the minutes of, not the kind of decision that we've just done, but basically just a have a notice of the code requirement for fences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is established by, you know, basically motion of the board.
Mm-hmm.
To this, and it's just of a different kind of nature is what we could kind of creatively come up with a set of precedent that invokes basically the code. And
mm-hmm.
special is just simply just a kind of a harping back to the code and just saying, you know, whenever this does get replaced, you want to upgrade it, whatever that may be, by this or any other owners in the future, that this is something that needs to be replaced according to code. Meaning,
okay,
you know, I mean, we're kind of doing this a little bit backwards,
mm-hmm.
But we're trying to kind of, you know, cost conscious. And if this got appealed to city council,
mm-hmm.
you based on precedent previously.
Yes. Okay. And he hasn't finished it either. So at some point, if he tries to finish it or does, that would kick in because he'd be upgrading it, changing it by adding to it. So at least he'll have that.
So this is something that we can happy to mail
a
copy of that.
Yeah.
Let him know that this is or aware that if there is any action taken on the fence that, you know, abide by
mm-hmm.
X standard, then he has a copy of that. It's posted in the file for any other owners should be the property.
Perfect. Okay.
And is it the same owner who had the past history of violations on fences?
I don't know that it's a different owner, Mr. Marley, but I think.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been there since I've moved in 4 years ago, so I'm not sure.
Well, because we had this situation with that homeowner before.
Oh.
And so I really just want to interject that I think he knew or knows about the fence code. But.
This is just a way to properly notice it.
Mm-hmm.
That way,
mm-hmm.
We've got a baseline in time.
Right.
Yeah.
We can, then he's aware of,
mm-hmm.
you know, if we are asking him, we're interrupting that in any way.
Yeah.
He's aware of this.
Yeah. Okay. So I know we talked about it last time. I just wasn't sure if anything had ever gone out on that or not. So we should probably get that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. Then the next on the agenda, HRB member recruitment. This is Karina Karen. Did I say that right?
Kanan.
Oh, okay.
I actually get that almost all the time.
Well, that's how it was spelled for me, but now I will change that.
That's K-A-N-E-N.
But it's pronounced Kanan.
Yes.
Okay. So Jan, I know Brian was saying that we should contact you.
Yes.
That you might be interested in becoming an HRB board member. And I hope that you saw tonight that it's a pretty painless process, right?
Yeah, that was interesting.
They are always so easy, but they're not really that hard either, right? We have a code to go by. So we try to make the meetings as short as possible. And sometimes we go out afterwards and sometimes we don't. So just to socialize, not to discuss business or anything.
This is being recorded, so be careful.
Not to discuss business.
Is it okay to ask a couple of questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful. All right. So I guess if you want a tiny bit of my background, my degrees in history. My kind of main focus the last few years has been specifically stone preservation and cemeteries. So proper cleaning, restoration, things like that. So this is a little different from my wheelhouse. I'm currently on the Kandy Historic Board. We've been on a bit of a hiatus for about the last, I want to say 7 months. We did have a meeting that was like four, unfortunately, our very last one. But it's been a little more my wheelhouse. It's been in either preservation. We do have some codes, but I haven't been in a historic district. So I'm curious about, as you were mentioning the codes with signage and like who refers specifically to the number. So is that designated, you know, by like the State Historical Society that we are under like a group, or is that the national level?
National.
So it's the National History.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, we use the national guidelines, the design guide, and that's what was used. And then we have, I'm going to not get her name right. We have a relationship with, is it Karen, Kanan, the wonderful lady from with the grant. Curran.
Curry Gill.
Yes. Yes.
So we have a relationship with Curry Gill, and she's been very helpful in making sure our codes meet the standards for the national.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've emailed with Curry a few times.
Okay.
On cemeteries.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's even something we were thinking about maybe as a future project down the line too, with the grant money, is what we can get is doing some preservation work on our Aurora Cemetery, one off Cole Lane.
Yes.
So you'd definitely be able to lend your expertise there, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
And then our applicants, you know, like the couple that was just here, are they informed ahead of time that national district or historic districts are like what codes they're following rather than the local? So there's like understanding, like, oh, like the cities basically didn't just make this up to throw out like businesses, like, are they informed when they come in, or is that something they kind of find out during the process?
Maybe Stuart could, as when they first come into City Hall, address that one.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's a specific question, I don't typically get into all the background, and frankly do not have a real comprehensive knowledge of what those ties are to the national level, other than that they exist and that we operate under the auspices of that national framework. But that would be even interesting to know on this end.
Yeah.
But you, so you live in a historic home.
Yes.
So did you ever get a notebook when you moved?
I couldn't tell you where it is. I believe when we first got in this one.
Oh, okay, great.
I'm pretty sure it's probably an elephant. My friend is pamphlet.
Oh, okay.
When I need to look at this file, it's there.
Because that's what they have here in the office too, to give people if they need to go home and look at the codes and yeah.
And that's where most of the information that's relevant, I guess, to
mm-hmm.
property owners in the district.
Yeah, it's called a Title 17.
Yes.
I'm also representing another project that you might be able to work on. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of loose ball things, but this is one of the ones that we want to update with pictorially, as well as also just some updates as reflected in code amendments that have happened here over the last, you know, year, 2 years, and just make it a little bit more accessible and updated online, so people have access that way as well.
Makes sense.
As well as also providing copies, hard copies to folks, because, you know, the ones that are out there, that, you know, whether buried somewhere in the house, are a little outdated, so.
And then, you know, I think the other thing too is that we work on a lot to get grants, like the Emma Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been, you know, where historic buildings have gotten money to boost, you know, restore them and things. So, yeah, it's
got a couple of restoration projects we'll be doing here with a local chimney, and hopeful to throw a little bit of funding at a replacement of one of the stores downtown. The Geese store roof needs replaced. We'll see how much we get out of that. It's a $15,000 possible total funding there through Curry, and for folks there at the state, OPRD. it'll shake out depending on how many applicants they get, and we'll see just what is allocated to the city, but just got that. Actually, got a little bit of a glitch in the system, but got that fully done today. One of the parts needed, and she let me back in the system. I was able to finish that up. So stay tuned. We'll tell you, hopefully, you know, maybe here in about the next month or so, what we know happen.
Great.
How we can proceed with that.
So you did the grant writing, or just the board did the grant writing?
Well, for this
the main writing,
yes. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly consulting. We talk about priorities and, you know, who has a project that's ready to go. You have kind of that supports the projects, and brief detail photos, and I kind of put that together and put it into the system.
Okay.
So it's not so much, I mean, it's a non-competitive grant, so there's a little bit of a different spirit than going for something that you have no idea what you're up against, and you may get nothing. You know, this will get something.
In other words, Stuart did all the heavy lifting.
Yes. Yeah.
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 Thank you. Thanks for letting me pick your brains a little bit.
Sure.
Please feel free if there's anything you want to know about other things.
So we'll put you to work.
Yeah, so think about it, but if you can like let Jan or let Stuart know, like within probably a week or so, so he can get, because we have to then recommend you, make a formal recommendation to the city council. And then we'd like to be able to get it on the agenda. Again, if you want to, we'd like to get it on the agenda for the second Tuesday of March on the city council's agenda. Because if we can do that and they approve you, which they will, because Brian recommended you, then you'll be able to attend our March meeting as your first meeting. So that'd be awesome.
I think what we would almost, it assumes that we would be motioning tonight to do that for the next meeting. So it might be a little bit, you need to do that. I'm just thinking about the natural order of things, like they would accept a motion for appointment. We go ahead and appoint at that meeting. But if we're not ready to appoint just yet, then you wanted to send in the kind of the formality of an application consisting of a resume and maybe a little backgrounder as to, you know, why this is a compelling interest. But I think we would, from what I'm remembering us doing before, we do that kind of formality of a motion to appoint and then send that along to them. So I don't think we've done that today so far.
Okay. That wasn't how it was done when I was appointed. So.
Might have been for me. I'm thinking that was the process maybe.
Yeah,
because I know, I guess, because really the according to what I read was you send it to like my letter of interest goes to the city of council. It doesn't even come here. And then, but the city council is the one who actually appoints people to this board.
Yeah.
So it's not really something we approve or vote for. It's just, they'll look for, Brian might say, hey, this person shows interest. Would you guys recommend this person? And then it's a recommendation. It's not a vote or a, so we could officially just do it through email, I think. Just say, yep, we would recommend her.
That's one way.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a degree of informality. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But, yeah.
So, because it's really all up to city council.
True.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Perfect. Well, I'm definitely intrigued. I'm all over a little bit. It's only fair that, you know, one of my long-term 9-year clients that I work with is going to be moving in a couple of weeks, and he's my Tuesday client, so I'm not positive what my new client schedule is going to be. So I don't want to say yes and then get hired with a new person and then back out on you after one meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So just give me a little while to kind of see hopefully where my schedule is
going
to
shake
out. That would be very nice.
Well, I appreciate you being up front.
It's
very nice. Thank you.
Backpedal on you. Hopefully, we'll find out in a couple of weeks. I haven't honestly had to get a new person on my roster in quite a few years. So, interesting.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Well, we'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so on to old business, the CLG grant application update. So, Stuart, you just said that you're pretty much...
Yeah, it's in process, and I'll let you know by email as soon as we know what we've got from the state offering for these projects. So we did ask a little bit of a match from homeowner Brian Asher, so like a 25% match there to help extend those funds out a little bit. Felt that was fair. Get a little something there to kind of, you know, skin the game. Given that he doesn't represent an organization, so he was fine with that. Got that in writing, and we were mobile for this. We'll make a little dent in that historic history.
So can I ask a question on that? So as we had talked about a few different possible projects, can you kind of fill us in on what went into the application?
Well, when it went into the application specifically was by way of what the projects are.
Yeah.
So the projects specifically are this is the homeowner, the single homeowner, Brian Asher, happens to be a kind of a restoration project of a annex building. So not the principal home on the lot, but the kind of a wash house, an old structure in the property that has been restored all but for that chimney. So from the roof line up, that's the focus of this project. And it's pretty dilapidated. It's fallen apart, missing bricks, that kind of thing. So that money, there's a $7,800 quote, and part of that, about $1,900, is the match, or 25% of that. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that that be kind of a restored portion of that structure. Mm-hmm. The secondary project was basically kind of a part of a larger funding equation through the museum. So the Giese store roof, mm-hmm. word is that a contractor that was anticipating some work on that roof would not actually work on that roof because it's so far gone. It's leaking inside the building apparently.
What part of the museum are they talking about?
And it's not the museum directly, but it's owned by the museum, the Giese store roof. So Three Daisies Vintage there in the downtown area.
Okay, I got you.
So that roof has got a lot of issues. And yes. It's beyond the point of patching. So yes. there's a refusal to patch it anymore. They want it replaced.
Yeah.
But it's a $70,000 to $80,000 project. So it's pretty expensive.
Are they looking at doing it with the same material that's on the museum?
There's the possibility of exploring a cedar type roof. So the CEDUR product that was used on the museum roof. Mm-hmm. It's a little more expensive, but it's supposed to last a good solid 30 years, maybe more, I don't know. But the idea is to replace that in concert with a grant under there's a Preserving Oregon grant. And if they got that, that would be, I think it's about $20,000 to $30,000. It's in that rough range. They got that money in the last couple of years to do the project over at the museum. Now a museum owned building,
right?
This would be going for that. So we'd be able to add something, and then they'd have to kind of fill the funding gap there with the balance of that, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 with private donations. So that is the project that we were thinking. We might be able to work this year toward another funding cycle, uh-huh. and update this with a consultant down the line that have done the work to kind of line up what are the pictures, what are all the different tweaks we want to make to this, yeah. and get that ready to go to another printing, and also make some adjustments to our website to accommodate kind of more of a digital version.
So was that project in the application or no?
No, this is secondary. Yeah.
So maybe I might have been confused, but I thought, we had a discussion here about projects. I thought that project was at the top of our list.
It was, definitely.
So it's a little bit of a surprise to me to hear that the mayor got a project in the application and the Giese House got a project in the application, which, HRB didn't think were sort of the best uses. And so I'm just curious how that decision process happens.
Yeah.
Well,
it effectively came down to project readiness. This was not ready. There wasn't a consultant on board, didn't have it just basically came down to time and the unavailability of the detail that this grant portal requires. I mean, they want a bid for everything. Mm-hmm. They don't need a competitive bid, meaning multiple bids, but they need at least, assuming it's under, the $10,000 or whatever. But in this situation, I had reached out for some consultants. I knew that there are consultants out there. It was pointed to our website, but vetting consultants and getting the proposal, which I didn't really have in place. I mean, it's kind of real open-ended. This is just what we need to do, but then you have to have meetings to kind of look at, what is the comprehensive scope, get an agreement in place that they can, abide by and agree to based on X number of dollars. We don't even know the dollar amount. So it's kind of like it was a little choppy to kind of get that kind of a conversation going to net out what we needed to be able to apply at kind of a relatively last minute thing. And then we also didn't really have a great amount of, pickings from the museum. They've got a short list, but it's pretty short. Mm-hmm. And all they had was a project that is, may not end up happening. If we don't end up going with this museum roof project, this re-roof project, mm-hmm. we'll need to look at an alternative by, say, September of this year. So we'd be looking at maybe a lower, lesser dollar, I understand there's another chimney out there that needs some work. We might be able to bandwagon with the same fellow that's doing this other project and just do that and be able to account for the entirety of the funds without trying to make them stretch into the tens of thousands of dollars. So I mean, it was a little bit, it was tough. We had a number of conversations about this, but at the end of the day, I had to kind of pull the trigger or we lose the funds, and it's kind of how it just kind of force landed. So
okay, yeah, thanks.
Can I ask a question? Have we gotten any feedback on the Emma Walk and how that's doing and how people are liking it or anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about the Emma Walk.
I haven't either. Nothing.
Because I haven't seen anything advertised for, like, on the Emma Walk Facebook website. I haven't really seen anything. I know that there was a video that was made because my grandkids are in it.
Right.
And I've seen the final cut, but I haven't seen that even being released yet. So I'm not quite sure why or...
I know that there was a succession of posts that were made online, mm-hmm. but it seemed like they kind of came out pretty rapidly.
Yeah, and then they stopped.
Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Yeah.
And it was like, so everything that Karen had drafted and was put up was, mm-hmm. That was it. And so it was like, it wasn't like a slow release and mm-hmm. get an event that supported it or something like that, like a larger.
Yeah. But I had expected to see the video on not only just the Emma Walk Facebook page, but the I Love Aurora Facebook page and the, right. you know, different, and I haven't seen that.
It's a project and it just seems like it's kind of been dropped.
Uh-huh.
I think it was completed, but
right.
In terms of, you know, impact, I think is what you're getting after is, you know, how many people have clicked through and
know about it.
Yeah, and how many people have reached out to the museum, you know, the kind of the stats that would indicate that this is, this has some traction and, you know, what is right. the impact. And I those are just a couple of performance indicators, but I think it would be actually probably a good idea to reach out, let them know, hey, it would be interesting.
Right, because we don't want to just show.
I think what was too bad about that project is that not the project itself, that was an excellent thing, but that originally I know they were hoping for signage and then to find out the signage wouldn't be covered in the grant.
Yeah.
So where Karen was really hoping for when you were walking downtown, there was, you know, some kind of board out there,
yeah.
you know, that you people could read a historical board that would tell them about it. And then they'd, oh yeah. And their scan code is right there. But it's really just the brochures on counters in businesses, not yeah. something that they're seeing when they're walking around to, you know, key them into it.
The idea was that, you know, beyond the plaques that are the visible part of that in a kind of in a physical tour, like we're actually going physically as opposed to virtually, the virtual right. tour or the virtual side of that tour was kind of the differentiation from what it had previously and to update that. So, you know, it's, I think just some follow up from would be a good idea.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is. It was intended to be an opportunity for people to access the tour without being here. That was a big part of the spirit of that project. And so to measure that and to, you know, to kind of like, how is it doing and how are they promoting that? Like, where are they pushing that out to with schools as they try to get schools back online? That kind of died with the COVID thing.
Right.
It might be a good thing to kind of get them to come, and we'll just put them on the agenda here in the next maybe month or two, give them a little bit of a chance to prep for that and let us know
right.
how that's going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what we could do to help.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What we could do yeah. to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
Appreciate you mentioning that because it has been a number of months. It would have wrapped as of this past July. So
yeah. Right. Yeah.
Quite a bit of effort to push that to the finish line, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I just have one question when we talk about the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
Do we know, or would the historic, the museum, it would be nice to kind of know more who's there, like some of the older graves as far as who they were, what they did, how they contributed to Aurora. But, you know, to have a written record, I don't know if we have anything like that.
that'd be all part of if we do decide to take it on as a project,
right?
Finding all that out and answering all those questions and trying to maybe get signage on Ellen Road that would point people down to the cemetery.
Right.
But that's not something that we'd want to take on until possibly next year, if there's enough funds left, because we'd really like to get our main project done next year. But just, you know, they first need to get all the water treatment in the water tower and everything done on Coal Lane before we try to get down that road ourselves. But one of the things for while we're talking about the CLG grant, I just wanted to reiterate how important, I know I personally feel, and I know Rich feels, and that we get this book completely updated and we get it user friendly and we get it online and we get the Historic Review Board portion of the website updated and user friendly. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see us be ready for next year and take a section of this every month and work on it at our meetings together. So, and you've already done so much work, I know, on the signs at home. I think you've already made a bunch of notes and things. To come each month work on a section of that, and so have it ready so that when we're getting, we can say, okay, this is exactly the changes that need to be made, because we have to get those done first through the proper, they have to go through city council first, and, you know, public meeting has to be held, and get all that done. And then we need to get coordinating with the community communication team, which is Charles Roper and Wendy Valise, because they're now, after we were told, well, you know, maybe this can be part of the, when we do all the city website updating. And then I'm here to the last city council meeting. Well, do we really want to update the website first, or do we want to just collect everybody's emails first? And so I found that a bit distressing, honestly.
I
thought we were going to get the, one of the reasons for holding off on this is so that it would be more cost effective as they get the website updated. And they have that consultant on board and that person doing their thing, that then we just plug in with that person with all of our changes, and then that adds to their update. But then it sounds like that's not going as quickly as I'd like to see. So we're going to have some conversations with city council, I think.
Yeah, I think we've got yet to meet and look at the possibility of, you know, what we're going to do and actually discuss it, because it's been a while since we've met. Since Bert really late last year and the Aurora Bucks rolled out. So that wasn't anticipated.
Yeah.
And that took a lot of Charles's time.
Yes. Yeah.
They've already been discussing this. So, but.
Because Charles could have been a good person to help us with.
Yeah, that's where I was kind of going. I mean, particularly now that we're hearing that the grant money is getting diverted, you know, to different projects, that it would be nice if we could get a stronger indication of support from the city council to see this, you know, improvement made in the code.
But it's all part of, you know, we can't pay someone to improve the city website for just the Historic Review Board. I mean, I guess we could, but it then by the time, one of the reasons I heard, which made sense if the update to the website was actually going to happen, it made sense in, well, if you guys pay and do all of this and try to update your portion of the website, but then someone comes in to update the city's website, then that could change everything you just did, right? And then we've wasted funds, which would be true. Mm-hmm. But then the city needs to work on updating the website so that we can all benefit from that.
Julie and I had a conversation, and this hasn't reached the level of council support just yet. And I know they wouldn't oppose this because it does need it updated, but it just hasn't hit this cycle of updates. So it's kind of like, we're like, how do we fit this in? And I like Julie's idea of kind of a slow, methodical, not unlike a, you know, kind of any other update that we've done to the code, but taking this narrowly defined design guide and incorporating code amendments, like with signs and other things that we've noticed that are just like a little, they're a little subjective, or they're just a little clunky. They need to find a little bit more. And we hadn't seen this before when we went through this protracted 2-year process. So it's like, okay, let's take this next year and methodically go through it. We'll use CLG funds to tackle this and get it done, including printing. We'll be able to kind of blanket the area with this, businesses, residences, and be in a position to, you know, with confidence to get this thing out, because we've done everything we've got in the boxes. Like, believe me, it's like people come in and it's like, I don't want to give them that, because it's like, it's a big qualifier, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like better to just visit our online code.
Yeah.
And so,
but that's so cumbersome that it's not really user friendly. So, you know, it would be nice to have it just our specific Title 17 also standing alone, not mixed in with all of the other city code, but just standing alone on the tab for historic review board.
Sure.
And then they could just search fences or whatever they needed to, and the stuff would come up. Yeah. But yeah, it just, I guess, is it happening this year? So we need to prepare for next year. So it would be nice to see, like, if we just like come back next month and our agenda for next month says discussion on sign code, and then the next month discussion on, you know, fencing, discussion on, and we kind of methodically go through each section, accessory dwelling, you know, all that, the landscaping stuff, mm-hmm. and really anything we need to do and get it pinned down so that we are in a better position, I guess, to get the bids that we need to get for the work that needs to be done.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a good approach. And I'm thinking it would maybe require a little bit of pre-work between meetings, just so that we're making good use of the time in the meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yes.
I mean, I could put it generally, we could tackle whatever we tackle the first sign. I don't want to put you on the signs, you know, but because science took a long, that was like the biggest conversation.
Right.
Like many months.
Yeah. But I think we, so much of that was already done. We kind of pinpointed what we need to do there.
It might actually be good given the work that needs to be, you know, a thoughtful, methodical approach to science, and given our recent experience, relatively recent experience, mm-hmm. to put science down a couple of months, just mm-hmm. to give us a chance to be looking at it and maybe just blanket statement, you know, we'll just design guide review, and then we can kind of maybe at our next meeting come with a series of suggestions about how we're going to outline this, so that by the end of the year we're done and we've got something to be kind of tracking on and map that out.
I think I just did that. Right. Yeah. So we did.
Well, I mean, what I hear is just, you know, sort of like come up with it.
I was trying to restate what. Did I make sense?
Well, but we just have to go right down here. And if we start with like signs, will take up more time. So if we start with that, and then some of these we'll be able to go, we'll be able to put five or six of these together and go right down the list.
I heard Stuart suggest something a little bit different, which is, sort of prepare a work plan, you know, ahead of time, so we all know in advance kind of what we're going to be focusing on. But signs, because it is probably more
time intensive,
that maybe we don't just take that right out of the gate because it's at the top of the list. Maybe we push that one down a little bit and start with others.
Give you a little bit of time outside of, you know, in between months to come up with something.
My other second one when that was fences. So I just would like to come back to the next meeting though and start on something though, so we're not always kicking the can down the road. Mm-hmm. We'll start
fences and just.
So everybody come next time having red fences and prepared with notes on things that they see that are maybe like just really subjective or hard, you know, yeah. Just not user friendly.
Okay, we'll start
things that are just
start with fences and mm-hmm. signs and fences, and
then also come up with.
If we're satisfied and we feel we can move on, and we could even at some point probably loop Mercedes in and give her a chance to let us know what she feels. You know, but she might give us some good feedback mm-hmm. from a legal perspective, and then we'll need to be kind of coming back next month with a little bit of sense for what next.
Well, I think Mercedes even had some ideas on some things that she thought still needed addressing. So that just really kind of left us open because they were some of the things in here are really so subjective mm-hmm. that it leaves us open.
Yeah.
But they think it's just our interpretation or our personal aesthetics versus, a black and white code.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, let's start with fences for next week. So, or next month. So at least we're starting with something.
Okay.
And everybody read the fence section and any notes or any suggestions or anything. And then we can also maybe work on our plan of attack also.
All right. That works.
That sound good? Just so we're starting with something.
You're going to leave fences or signs off then?
No? Yes. Yeah. We'll start with fences. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But everybody should be looking at signs
cool.
for a period of time until we feel like we're ready to talk about those.
Like maybe 8 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. All right. Anything else?
Nothing here.
Okay. So meeting is adjourned.
I don't know if I'm going to pause.